Good Monday, losers. Thanks for listening to the podcast. I was about to thank you for being Patreon subscribers, but then I realized that you're not. You're just the cheapskates.
Some of them are. They get this early access, you see.
Oh, okay. Plug. Okay, I think I did know that.
They've already listened to this.
Right. So if you're the Patreon listeners, hey, here's your podcast. Thanks for the subscribing. If you're a Monday listener, thanks, I guess. But you could be...
You could objectively be doing better, and I think we both know that. And we've got guest Ari Matty on in Estonia, and he's now going to record the Patreon bonus special with us, where the patrons have asked questions, and we're going to answer them, and that'll be up.
So you can subscribe to that if they...
It'll already be up by the time you listen to this.
Right. I think that might have been the worst intro we've ever done.
It was the longest and most pointless. It's a good podcast,
I don't think it's the longest.
No, that's not.
No, it's definitely not the longest. Well, I mean, not yet. I mean, at this rate.
But they've got a good podcast about the club.
It was a very funny podcast. And, you know, just fucking enjoy.
I'll speed that up to like twice the speed. So guys,
make us sound like hamsters.
Yeah, I've done that to you before a couple of times.
I wouldn't know. I don't listen to this shit.
Sloss and Humphreys on the road.
Muggins and cream, cream and muggins. Straight thuggin', living the dream.
And that's our intro.
Fucking muggles.
Tickling the clit inside your head that makes you laugh. They said it can't be done.
Are we in the same seats?
That's hack.
Ah, muggles.
Accidental rim job in the park.
Kiss, kiss, kiss.
Or am I just being cynical?
Just muggled it up on fucking Mugglepedia.
Where have you been since 9/11?
Right, okay.
Well, I explained to
you. Is this the exclusive episode first, or...?
No, this is the regular Monday episode.
This is going public.
That's public.
So. And smoke weed on camera.
Yeah.
Will that reach YouTube?
Only one way to find out.
Aye. If it gets tucked down, they'd have to go on.
I'll be in the papers after. I smoke. Yeah, for sure.
Really?
On camera.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
For sure.
Is it that illegal?
Hold on. You're going to get free press for our podcast if you smoke weed on it.
Yeah.
Well, not free.
Well, it's going to be like, Ari doesn't smoke weed on camera on this podcast. And loads of people are going to want to check out what our podcast is.
Sure, you talked me into it.
No. Because we will be able to smoke weed on camera.
Does he talk like this away from microphone all the time?
Does
yes.
Does face this way?
Honestly.
I can't. Look, it doesn't.
Ari, I feel seen.
I can what?
No, but you can change the location of the...
I can do that, but then I'm just going to be talking like...
You see, this is a spinning table. Just spin it towards your direction.
Oh, yeah, but then it's...
Spin it the other... No, other way. So it's closer.
Fuck's sake!
Say fucking Tomb Raider.
How do you do sound checks with this guy, though, huh?
I do, yeah.
And then turn this one towards
this
you.
Turn.
Yes, it does.
Jesus, we could have done this before the start.
Oh, muscles. This is,
then put the wrenches.
This is why it's free, this one.
Maybe this will be it. So
this is the order of service for today. Right, this is the Monday podcast.
Uh-huh.
But we're also going to do a Thursday podcast today.
Wow.
So... Uh-huh. The patrons are going to get the second episode first and the first episode second.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to do a Q&A with you, Ari, fielding questions that the patrons asked us.
Did people ask?
People asked, yeah. Imagine how fucking embarrassing that would be.
Yeah.
If we're doing a Q&A podcast, could field your questions and Ari will bat them away. Imagine just had like 3 likes, no comments.
Yeah.
Just had to ask Ari to come up with the questions.
Yeah.
I'd have folded the podcast.
So, wait, hold on. So you would get in trouble for smoking weed.
For sure.
But do you not speak about weed on stage?
All the time.
Right.
But it's like art form, you know, like, ooh.
So do you want us to blur you out while you hit the weed?
No, listen,
because it'll be funny. Because if he's not blurred out for all of the podcast, but they blur him out just while he smokes weed.
Well, I think we also have to. You're allowed to smoke weed on YouTube. I'm pretty sure it's like Twitch, where you can smoke weed on it if weed is legal in your country. But if
for
it's
sure.
not, then you can't. So I reckon we're just going to have to ask Brett to cut. Like, just edit that bit out, and then we'll carry on with the podcast.
But I'm not too worried, no. I'm just saying, like, usually we try to be discreet, but...
Okay. I'm wearing a shirt that says Quality Drugs.
Yes, but you're like Snoop Dogg, where, you know, like...
Said no one ever.
I mean, like, when you arrive at an airport and they find drugs on you, it's like Keith Richards' deal. You know, it's like, cool. Wow, I'll pick you up. I'm like... If I'm on camera and I try to get a gig in Dubai and they see me smoke the pipe,
I see.
They're like, yeah, you're not ever getting in.
Oh.
Hold on.
You go to like special prison.
Yeah. I go to the one that the Wolf of Wall Street went to.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
It's like a tennis court. And it's fun.
And then me and Kai wait at immigration with Syrians.
I still get bummed in the millionaire prison, by the way. I get in there, but I'm not top dog.
Yeah.
It doesn't go well.
You even build it yourself like Pablo Picasso, gone in, and you're still not the top.
Yeah.
Pablo Picasso?
Pablo Picasso.
Pablo Picasso built his own fucking prison, did he?
Yes. That's why people tune into this podcast. That's our USP.
Picasso?
Yeah. Our USP is
me. Escobar.
I know. He meant Escobar. I thought it was like a joke that you guys do.
No.
Wow. That was me being high.
The only ongoing joke is that Kai...
Oh, yeah. Is the cookie kicking?
A little bit for me. A little bit. Nice, I mean, I'm still going to hit the ball.
Of course, yeah.
Right. Could you eat a cookie on camera? Would that get you in trouble?
Well, yeah. What is a cookie?
Are you being paranoid about like how much trouble you... Do you do the one show? Like, do you do like daytime television? Is it going to compromise
that? No.
It's not going to stop you getting into Dubai.
No, of course. No. It's not a real fear, but it's like... Well, you know what it is? That I'm around other paranoid people, so that instills paranoia. But you guys hang out, because you guys tour in like all these legal countries, you know, you don't care.
So is it like weed very illegal in Estonia?
Is it very frowned upon? Is it like drugs are bad?
I think
Frank.
I think I'm doing like a deal that's worth like 5 figures in January with the health department. I'm pretty sure...
There you go.
If I hit... Aye. But that's not what I meant initially.
That's what you've got to think is like, is it going to stop you from doing anything in the future? Like,
no.
Like, I've done so many things in my life, I couldn't get into politics.
Well, if it's something that will...
Yeah, famously, no paedophiles have gotten into politics.
Yeah. you're going for this guy that took a line of cocaine off a tortoise. Here's the picture.
Aye.
I mean, that's not the only reason I'm not getting into politics. I mean, lack of political knowledge is also, but hypothetically.
I reckon if there was a candidate that came out and was just like, I used to do heaps of blowback in the day, I smoked every single day, and I'll be honest with you, heroin is class, like I get it, but I'm all clean now, and I'm running, I'd be like, I trust you.
For sure.
It shows you how bad the government is that we're like, a recovered addict wouldn't be that bad. Like,
for sure.
As long as it's a recovered addict.
I would get some crackhead off the street and all that. Just
especially like comedian, in the sense that, you know, our industry is like, the more fucked up shit you do, the cooler you are, in essence. We're not like Formula One drivers.
We lose, you know. Well, it's like, yeah, there was a comedian in the UK called Jack Whitehall who did...
He does the one, I haven't seen anything, but it's always in my fucking face, him and his father or something.
Oh, yeah, does it...
Comedians and their parents is a comedy trope that...
It's always travel shows, isn't it? Travel show.
Like, I get it. Cool. You love your parents. Like, I love my mum. I wouldn't do a travel show.
I tell you what, though, a travel show with me and Linda would shift tickets, like.
It would be the first time she'd ever fucking travelled. It'd just be her and the pyramids just going,
oh, yeah.
But, like, the tea bags.
Can you pull the window open?
Oh, yeah. Hi. Get that window open. Compromise a little bit of audio quality for. And that's by that I mean how high we're going to get.
Do you want to do some?
Can you just tap me out?
You said specifically before the podcast, you said I'm going to let the animal kick in and I'll be fine.
Let it kick in?
Yeah.
It was before it had kicked in.
It's only because the cameras are on now. You're acting hard in front of your mates.
But you guys are like, bro, every time I hang out with you guys after shows, I mean, I cannot, when I'm on tour, it's like, no, like maybe one shot of whiskey and I have to go straight to bed because me and Mika will have like a panic attack.
Yeah.
If we have like, but you guys just go hard, man. Every time I hang out with you guys, I'm just surprised because you guys fly all the time, every night shows.
Yeah.
Like, it's nice to feel appreciated, isn't it?
Oh, like true professional. Like you were passing out at that bar last night. Okay. And I was like, if that was me, that's 2 week recovery. I had three gin tonics last night. I woke up, you know, like.
Yeah, but you don't drink that much in general.
I know.
Because, so, and Ari, this is Ari Matti Mustonen, by the way. He's an Estonian comedian who we've been friends with.
The pronunciation of my last name.
Mustonen?
He lost confidence after
Ari Matti Mustonen?
Just don't say it.
No, come on, you say it. Come on.
Ari Matti Mustonen.
Mustardson. Sounds like a proper, like one of them prohibition type bars.
Why? But like,
you know the band Sanford and Sons?
Yeah.
Do you know the band?
I don't know that from Sanford and Sons, by the way. I only know that from Scrubs. In Scrubs, Turk sings the fucking song all the time, so I don't actually get the reference.
Get me words out. You used to come on stage to Mumford & Sons, didn't you? Did you listen to it a lot? Was it
pre-show music? I listened to it. It was definitely pre-show music. Like I still like Mumford & Sons. I mean, I think the lead singers are
I like it.
But
do you know the Lumineers as well? Like similar music. You know Lumineers? Yeah. I had to open for Lumineers in Latvia.
Did they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they were like doing a festival.
Comedians, it wasn't.
No, but it wasn't like that we were like, it wasn't even officially opening. It was just that we had a side stage for comedians to do comedy there. And then they did the music. And it was just the weirdest gig.
I can't imagine. I can't imagine music fans of the Lumineers are.
Are they respectful comedy audiences? Do you think like
that's your gran and your aunt. Like that's a bunch of.
Is it?
No, not yet.
Students from the thousands.
No, they're very young hipster man. Yeah, they're still very hipster.
Okay. And are they, like, how big are you in Estonia? Is that like? You've been doing comedy here for 10 years?
I've been doing comedy for like, I think 8 years.
8 years.
Here, maybe 5. But I do my work.
Aye.
But here only.
So were you a comedian when we first met? Or did you get into it just after that? You just started?
No, I just started. But already I knew the hierarchy and I didn't want to mention I'm a comedian.
Yeah.
Because we talked mostly about MMA. And at that figure, and at that point in my life, I think I was 23 when I met you.
Yeah,
and
2014.
I was still like, in my head, I think we can close the window now. So the sound.
Oh, great. Well, spotted.
If you pull it, then the sound. Boom. And in my head, I was still like, I don't know. Did you guys have like a secondary dream? Like a secondary thought or a
backup plan?
Not a backup plan, but what, like, was the other thing?
What else?
When you were young, what was the other thing?
Oh, like, yeah, I wanted to be, when I was very young, I wanted to be a zookeeper. Like, I just,
don't make yourself interesting. You did not want to be a zookeeper.
But because I wanted to.
Are you trying to fuck me? That's such a thing you would say to a girl. I just love animals so much.
Yeah. That was going
to
be
willing to work. I'm willing to collect shit.
Why? What was your fucking dream? A bin man? Like what?
Cage fight.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Snowboarding teacher would be
or James Bond. James Bond was my big one.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Bond. Have you seen the new Bond?
No. Is it good?
This is why I can't respect you. You're Scottish.
We've been on the road. We can't watch it in fucking Belgium. I'm not watching it in a foreign language.
Bro, you're Snoop Dogg. You can call in a cinema and tell them, you know, I'm arriving here and you can smoke inside.
How famous do you think
we got
I
off
am?
At that?
You're very famous.
We got off at that in Edinburgh.
Did we?
We did. I got offered to go and play because the guy managing the cinema said we could go in and plug in our PlayStations and play the PlayStation at the cinema.
Oh, yeah.
Also, isn't Bond Scottish? Like, that's the backstory, right? He's Scottish.
Yeah.
I have every DVD. I have every VHS. I used to have. It paints the picture of 007. I had all the movies. I've seen all of the Bonds. And you haven't?
I've seen most of the Bonds
exactly
since like 2000.
The opposite.
Exactly the opposite, my friend.
Shagga.
When I was young. Yeah, that was my shit. Did you guys like... Because I've heard you talk stuff like, you know, like Iron Man and like...
Marvel.
I love the Marvel universe.
See, that's... That's in my world.
Does that make me a basic bitch to you?
Not a basic bitch, but like, there's no.
you ski, you don't snowboard.
No,
because you're like that's the opinion of someone that skis is Bond, and then you're snowboarding.
Do you like
and
Harry Potter?
Marvel.
I don't want to answer this question now. I feel like
he fucking loves it, mate.
Really,
fucking loves it.
Well, I
had a portion of this podcast called Muggle Corner for years.
Because we're the same, similar age. Even when I was young, when I saw that first scene of Harry Potter.
Oh, the movies aren't great. So, like,
even
like
the books, bro. I bought three Harry Potter because the hype was so big. I bought three of them at once because I was like, I'm gonna rip through these.
Yeah.
Chapter one already, like spells and
doesn't,
shit.
Doesn't
like
the
nerdy.
What did you fucking think it was?
No, but like an owl at a train station, and like, you know, like
suspend your disbelief, Harry.
Bro, I watch James Bond. He like shoots missiles, fucks women.
Yeah,
the first woman he fucks, he murders.
Does he?
Not him, but his actions, though. You know, like Goldfinger, you know, he gets... The first woman Bond fucks always died tragically. And he, you know, for a second, he's
and
like...
And that's not suspicious to anyone else.
For a second, he's like this.
Don't
he's like,
no means no.
For a second, he's like, oh, you know, like, oh, that's so... And then he calls M and it's like, continue the mission. And then the second one he fucks is usually the wife of the bad villain because he mentally beats you as well. Fucks.
Okay.
And then... you know. And
is that one of the things he always mentally beats the person?
Mentally, so many. Yeah. You know, like small pistol, you have like nuclear weapon, don't matter, because, you know, James Bond.
He beats him psychologically.
Psychologically. And when you're a kid, you know, compared to Harry Potter.
Harry Potter's a fucking loser.
Just shooting.
I'm picking up what you're putting down, but have some fun, man. Yeah, disbelief. Enjoy the fairy tale.
What age were you when you tried to read Harry Potter, though?
No, I was young, bro. Oh, right. Even at 13, I was like, this is bullshit. You know, like. And even Spider-Man, like jumping and like shoot. Where's the, you know.
Oh, man. I agree with that.
Because it's not a realistic dream. Getting bit by a spider and jumping off a building. Yeah. After
you wanted to be James Bond.
No, yes, but that's realistic.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Because that's realistic. Like there's an MI6. I googled MI6. I remember I was like, this is a real motherfucking, like.
It's loads more realistic, but it's...
Scotland Yard is an actual institution that spies.
I mean, you're not wrong.
No, and there's weapons with, like, suitcase. When you Google suitcase weapon, you see actual agents, like actual Soviet spies at, like, a marketplace, like, filming and shooting arrows. That's realistically happening. And people are having sex. People are, like he did.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, yeah.
And people are...
So immediately when you say...
There are super soldiers. I sound like a Republican. There are super soldiers out there.
Immediately when you say, like, an owl is talking. I've never seen an owl.
The owl doesn't talk in Harry Potter.
But it delivers mail.
Yeah, like it knows spell. Like you could see, like
in real life, there's people living under the stairs. No, at the foster house.
Oh, I know. Yeah, that's the deeper. But when you're 12, I don't see the deeper shit.
Oh, there wasn't that much deeper shit. Yeah. He was clutching at straws there. I'm glad you went.
But like
that,
school,
that wasn't me trying to justify the undertones of Harry Potter.
I was not into, but James Bond, it was like such a realistic dream. I didn't have a father. James Bond lost his parents at a skiing accident.
Yeah.
I
mean, Batman as well.
I still had my mother, you know, when we went on vacations, I was like going near cliffs, hoping that a trauma would happen and I would, you know, enroll in like an undercover. Like I go to study as a police officer, but then they go like,
You pass the test on the extra level.
Fast track.
They recognize like this 15-year-old.
Like, you're the officer that shot the little girl during the thing. You didn't kill any of the aliens because one was crying. That one was clearly doing this. You saw through the charades.
Yes. And that was like a realistic dream. You get drafted at some like secret police school.
I can't tell if you're doing a bit or not.
No, it's not.
This is 100%.
It's not. No, but I'm saying when I'm 12, James Bond looks realistic, bro. Yeah. Like it looks like you could actually.
So what was it? If you're realistic, if this is legit, then if this is earnest, what was your game plan? Because you plan shit out. What are your steps along the way to become?
No, actual police school. Actual police school. Yeah, when I was like, I went to enroll at the police school in Estonia. But then, bro, you have to be like an officer, like checking parking tickets for like 10 years.
Oh, really?
To be maybe a detective.
Did you think you were going to breeze into it straight from
school?
Because
James Bond was like 25 when he started missioning, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
well, yeah, or maybe when he was 15 until 25, maybe that's when he
and
was doing
of course,
that. We don't see those movies because it's just him like...
He's getting his masters.
Of course, when I was like, of course, when I was like 14... You know, then I started realizing the truth. But at 12, I was like, you know.
Did you love it? Are you talking like through the, did you, movies obviously, but did you read the books as well?
The Ian Fleming books? I tried, but if you have, you know, I'm one of those generations, we had like, I mean, you had mail and like wooden, you're older than us.
Much older.
Yeah, much older. Yeah, but we were like, my brain is like, because you played first Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Like, out when you were...
I was there for the Spectrum. You used to put cassettes in.
Yeah.
And play it on the... Like, had it like a rubber keyboard.
You had to go to Town Hall to play Pong. Like, you know, like... Yeah. Like, and you didn't even get to play. You watched a scientist play Pong. And you're like, what are the possibilities? You know? Like, me and him watched Terminator 1. Like, this is dog shit.
Yeah.
Like, remember when you saw it?
We spoke about this in the last one. Like, I didn't like Star Wars when it first came out because I was like,
it would have been mind-blowing to our parents.
But, like, to my parents... So it was like,
Terminator 1, he was like, it's an actual robot.
Oh, man, the T-2000, the fucking liquid metal, that was like, technology can't get better than this. We're watching TV there and going like, this is peak. You can't get better than that.
But have you watched Avatar recently? Looks like dog shit.
Does it?
PlayStation 3 graphics.
Really?
But remember when it came out, people were like, it is just like real. And it's nothing like
real. And that was during that time when they were still so desperately trying to make 3D movies and television happen. And just the public just kept going,
Dude, 3D movies can go fuck themselves. I'm never wearing those stupid. One time I tried, and it was only a 3D option. And then you have to, I have to wear, and my head aches. Yeah, and then you look around, all the other grown men with glasses. You know, and it's like the effects are not that good.
And it's like two images, and one's being brought forward. It's not like a rounded 3D. It's like a one thing in front of the other, like a stage set, as if there's waves.
And I don't even give a fuck about 4K, 8K. 480p was enough to enjoy a movie, you know.
I do like the...
Nah, resolution's got to be tight, man. That's too far, that. The resolution's got to be good.
I don't care.
Like you say,
and the sound system. And when it's too loud... Last Bond movie, there's an explosion. I was like, that's a bit too loud.
You get like, triggered. It's
just no, it's just... It's a bit... I can't, you know, it's a bit... I'm high, and it's like... It's intrusive.
We went to the we went to the cinema the other day to watch the... here's another nerd.
Did we?
No, 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 me. Me, Cullen, and Gareth went to see the third Lord of the Rings movie weeks ago. And the cinema was absolutely fucking freezing. Like, it was, something must have been wrong. Like, it was still September.
And we're watching the Revenant.
It was when they were on Just the Hills. And man, you could almost see our breath. And it was, none of us said anything, and nobody else in the cinema said anything. But like, when we all came out, somebody just went, God, it was cold in there. And like 35 people go in, it really was fucking cold in there.
Everyone just dealt with it.
Yeah, just being like, oh my God.
There's a critical.
That's so Scottish. Yeah. That just
fucking stubborn the way through. And it's a long movie.
Pulling your jacket on a bit tighter.
Lord of the Rings movie.
Imagine finding out 20 minutes into Lord of the Rings 3 that it's cold. You're like, you're like, this is director's cut too. You're like, motherfucker.
Yeah, this is, we did one director's cut, but they didn't.
Yeah, when they're rushing down the hills, you're just fucking
Nobody went to the toilet in the full 3.5 hours because they just pissed themselves to keep warm.
Yeah,
and then it froze.
You go to the bathroom, you wash your hands like this. You know when it stings.
Oh, do you know what we didn't talk about the other day?
About the blackout in the hotel. So the power cut.
We were in Belgium, and when we got in, we'd woken up very early.
We'd been to a lock-in, right? Had we not been? It was 4 o'clock in the morning. We'd been to a lock-in at the wine bar.
No, that was the day
after. Was that the day after?
Yeah, it was the day we came back from Madrid. So we'd gone out until like 1 in the morning in Madrid, came and then flew at like 6 a.m. So we were very tired. So I went for a nap. And then halfway through my nap, like there was like a knock. And then I just thought it was like housekeeping. But I've just gone in on that day. And it's just this guy's like, hello. And I was like, yeah, sorry, I'm sleeping. And he's like, oh, sorry, just dropping something off. And then he shuts the door and I go back to my nap. And when I wake up, he's dropped off a bit of paper and a little torch. And it's just like, we're very sorry, but just to let you know, there's some technical work that has to be done tonight. So it means between 11:30 and 5 a.m., there's going to be no electricity for anything.
In the entire building.
So here's a torch.
Just... How about not open the hotel that day?
Right. or like
that is unacceptable.
It's pretty fucking weird.
Also so Belgian.
No, I think it's fine because look, it's between...
It is very funny.
It was
on a Monday between 11:30 and 5 in the morning. Like, I get
it. Surely it's a security thing that you can't phone down.
Yeah.
If this was like Bratislava, I would accept this behavior. But yeah. Belgium, I mean, it seems like...
Well, so I think it was the corridor lights were on. It was just the rooms.
Also, they have Snoop Dogg in the hotel. Wouldn't that... Wouldn't that they have literally? Wouldn't the administrator tell the construction? No.
We've got the title of the podcast, Snoop Dogg.
The Scottish Snoop Dogg. No, man, I think that
what if you're disabled and the lift doesn't work and you're on floor two and you're fucking...
Well, we know what happens. So when we fucking get back, the downstairs, the reception lights are on. Like, so it's not the whole building. It's clear they're doing some of the wiring work upstairs. I don't know what it was. And we're on floor five and he's like, okay, cool, I'll take you. And he opens up the fire exit because the elevators don't work because there's no electricity. And we have to go up five fucking flights of stairs.
But it was it was two lots of stairs per flight. So you go up one, you're on the middle of a floor. Aye. Up one, you're on floor one.
This motherfucker was in a full suit. Like, it's a Hilton hotel, right? So he's
bellboy.
He's dressed all nice. He's dressed as a fucking bellboy. This cunt was a Sherpa man. Like, his mother was a mountain goat. He went up those stairs.
He flew up. I was shouting up at him.
We had to ask him to slow down several times.
You're the one with the torch. He left me in the fucking pitch black trying to clamber up. Slow down with a torch.
No, the emergency lights were on. We were fine there.
But emergency lights were on.
Yeah. The ones that are like...
The fact that it's not an emergency and the emergency lights are on, I mean, that's...
They'd stay on all day, Ari. Do you guys think you save the electricity on your fire exit this way, lads?
You what?
You only have the emergency lights, aye, the fire exit this way. They just stay on 24/7.
Aye.
And it was, they're not like an alarm puts
was
them
it
on.
A nice hotel? I mean, it must have been at least a nice one.
It was okay.
It was a Hilton, I think.
A Hilton?
Yeah,
that as a brand. I mean, Paris would be disappointed. That as a brand. It's like unacceptable.
I just didn't bring it down.
But we're going through a thing of like everywhere we tour is very different. Like, so when we're over in Estonia and Belgium and all these places, we stay at like really nice hotels because in Europe, I'm famous. But in the UK, I'm not that famous. So we're at the time.
Really?
Well, we're not. I mean,
in
like
England.
In England.
Like in Scotland, you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But not England. England is, like, England, I'm like, I think Z list. Like, real, yeah. And it's really weird because I'm very famous in the.
Lee Evans is big in England, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Carr is big in England.
Yeah.
Boy, those boys, yeah.
Aye. Mm-hmm. Who's the biggest Estonian comedian? Is it you?
Yes.
Yeah, nice.
Aye, took aye. It.
Stand-up wise, yeah. But not like celebrity
so
or
nothing. That
stand-up is a niche market.
That happened in recent years then, because you haven't been around that long. Who did you overtake? Who was your guy? Who was your best?
Nobody overtook. I mean, it's just
you start, you're growing up together because it's comedy's in its infancy.
Aye. Absolutely.
So
yeah.
It wasn't like an old guard.
I mean, we have like 3 to 4 professionals. Five professionals now.
So still really new here.
Very. No, we're growing the audience as you're speaking into it. You know, still...
It's grown, like we've watched it grow.
Yeah,
every time we come back.
And it's a really cool way to do a scene because you've all grown the audience. Whenever there's like a new comedian that comes
in. Yeah, you did like Athena, which was like 200-300.
That felt huge at the time as well.
Yeah. No, the first time we were in Estonia was, I always remember it being...
In like a
hangar? We sold 650. Because we couldn't, it was the biggest gig we'd ever fucking done.
But not the first time, no.
It was in a hangar with Bleacher Seat.
No.
Remember Lewis jumped up and done the starting bit?
Yeah.
That was still big.
That was the warehouse looking guy.
Aye.
Yeah, Vabalo.
Was that 650?
Was that the next time we come back then, the 2015 year?
Maybe.
So 2014 we did that size.
I don't think that's 650.
No.
But it was still a big audience, like for sure.
It was certainly our biggest audience.
I mean, it was big for sure. And then when I started doing some gigs in Lithuania and Poland and stuff, with Paulius especially, yeah. And then I did like similar rooms as you. And then I kind of realized that, well, also Estonia, it's very rare that we have such success. If you watch like, go to like ticket sales, like, and in the top 5, it's always like top 4 are stand-up comedy. Like all the actors are doing comedy. Because now when they realize, I mean, I'm sure it happened in Scotland, but that happened in the 90s for you guys.
Yeah.
When like famous people figured out that, oh my God, this is not a play. You can just grab a mic, sell with your famous name, and then just shit in their mouth. But you can pump out some money, bro.
You were saying, was it Rob Schneider that you saw here that was apparently fucking horrendous?
Oh, Pablo Francisco. I mean, lots of those guys have come through. But that's during the boom, even.
Yeah.
I mean, Bill Burr.
So Rob Schneider bombed?
Well...
He doesn't listen to this.
Listen, Snoop Dogg, you can talk shit about T-Pain.
Yeah.
You know, like... He's the T-Pain.
You can talk shit. Anyone can talk shit about Rob Schneider.
I might have a big opportunity with Mr. Schneider. I've heard he's a nice guy. And he's anti-vax. He's anti-vax.
Is he?
Yes.
Great.
Which is my crowd. I would have lots to talk. Also, he does clubs. And I've heard when I land in Miami, I might see him at a mic.
You say you're not anti-vax. But your crowd are anti-vax.
No, but I can relate to those, you know, people. Yeah. You know, you are very strongly opinionated. Like, no, but racism bad. You know, I am open to a I need to still grow my crowd.
Yeah.
I'm at your DVD, you know, Tokyo Motel. You know the band Tokyo Motel. You know when you had your hair. You're at that. I'm at that phase where you were then. And at that point, you would not open the show with like, you know, Brexit, like fuck.
Yeah.
You would be like, England is a nice, you know.
Yeah.
You would not say fuck London like you did, very disrespectfully.
Oh, don't let our English listeners know how much I change the set when I'm outside of England.
Like, are you going to do England like you did Spain?
You're gonna
cut off countries one by one until you've got any fans left.
What the joke in the fucking show in the UK is that scientists have found out that the lowest form of creature that is capable of laughter is a Tory, right? And it's just it's a fucking cheap joke, and I call out that it's
what's a Tory?
Tory's the Conservative government.
The current government.
The Tories. I think there's a series called the Tories.
Aye, the Tory, right? So that's that joke when it's in England and Scotland. But when I'm in the rest of the world, aye, it's the lowest form of creature that's capable of laughter is an Englishman. And it gets a bigger round of applause, yes, because the rest of the world hates England. And I don't have time to really explain what a Tory is.
Estonians, we don't like England too. Stag parties, stag parties. You guys ruined a lot of things. Yeah. A lot of the image. Because for us, you were so classy on television.
Yeah.
James Bond.
James Bond.
Like no, but all of it, so classy. Like the Blackadder, Rowan Atkinson. Yeah, so smart.
Monty Python.
So Monty Python. Benny Hill, you know, that funny, you know, like clever.
Chasing women.
That was cool. That was very cool. And then the Thames logo and the beginning of Benny Hill were like, and then the monument, you have like beautiful stuff and like old buildings and a queen, you know, shit like that. So for us, it was always like, the ones that are coming over, like Hercule Poirot, you know, like, ooh, they're like with a suit. And then when the borders opened up and stag parties started coming through.
Because
I was a bartender for 6 years and motherfucker, the shit
started. My luck spoiled it.
Your accent used to do serious drama for me when you started speaking.
Because the stag party,
because Geordies would come in day in, day out.
Yes.
And the way you dress, like, you know, like, fucking ballet skirt balls out in the old town.
Getting
that's
invaded.
Not the British I expected.
Invaded by Geordie stag parties is such a funny insight into the fucking.
Because we didn't even know that that's like
the side of us. You didn't know that was a side of us.
They were wearing mankinis before the movie Borat came out.
And like very obnoxious. Just, you know, like that. You know, have that. Like British people have that imperialistic confidence because you conquered, because it's in your blood to be better.
You have to scroll down to click United Kingdom, that's how imperialistic we are. United Kingdom's got to be at the top on any of the scroll down lists on a form.
That does do my fucking mind. I'm like, you know where I'm from. Come
I
on
put
now.
It at the top.
It's like Russian people go to like Egypt, Thailand, you know, they dominate. Like they'll talk Russian long enough for that the signs to turn Russian. Have you seen like Russian signs in Egypt? And you're like, why is there? And then the Egyptian guy goes, you know, Zdravstvuyte. Because they just steamroll that place until you start speaking Russian.
Yeah, come
right?
here. Well,
Americans go to, and then Australians go to like Indonesia. Yeah. You know, like when
Nothing I. might.
Bro, when I went to Bali and I saw like Australians there, I was like, I understood the bombings. You know, like it was a bad look. You know, like fucking bars. And then, but for Europe, it's for sure British stag parties that do that shit where they just come in like by the thousands too. Mm. And then when Ryanair came around, I was a bartender when Ryanair opened.
Yeah.
That was a serious hit to my mental health.
You're just like, oh fuck, there's going to be more.
They can get here for 12 quid.
Exactly.
They can come here on a whim. They don't even have to save up.
Because before you had to, you know, British Airways, you had to SIS, you had to use Finnair, you had to use, it was mostly like a connection or a weekend getaway, at least weekend. But Ryanair, you know, they put like Monday 6 a.m. flight. So now I'm like opening the bar at 10 a.m., like putting the coffee machine ready and you guys come in like, you know, doing Jaeger shots and shit. And just so disrespectful, it's crazy.
Have you ever flown on one of them flights by accident? You've just been getting on a flight home from England or something, but you're accidentally on the stag do flight.
I was by accident on like some flight from London Stansted to Stockholm. And, you know, I don't follow soccer. No. But there was like a soccer game.
The fact you call it soccer is proof enough.
The soccer game was like happening in Sweden, in the fucking Norrköping or whatever, the small airport. You know, Ryanair puts you in the middle of a fucking field. It was like, they'll be like, yeah, you go to Sweden, but not the Sweden you think. You know?
Oh, what's that? Who wants a flight home immediately? Guess how much that one costs, motherfucker.
Yeah, you're landing in a warehouse in the middle of Norway. Like, you know,
just walk through the fields to get to the town.
And when you say, which way is Oslo? They go like, Oslo. You know? And by accident, you described, that was by accident. And because you're such like a, your middle class is rich. There's so many, you're such a well-off economy as well. Mm. There'll be like groups of 40. I would never in my life be able to convince three of my friends to get at the same time because we all have work. We all have, you know, like real jobs.
Make a plan. Tell everybody to save the dates.
There's no saving the date if you do two jobs for like €3 an hour. There's no saving.
Are you kind of take holidays?
No. He said we have the economy.
To have holidays and
to like do a getaway in Sweden.
Hey man, this is where our stag do's come. Of course, they don't have the fucking economy to. Yeah, our stag do's come here. It's because the flights
don't have the economy
and the booze is.
And then it pumps up the economy. So it's like a little like reverse leech.
Yeah, like we go on a cruise. That's our budget. We do like a one-day cruise to Stockholm and back, right? But not even stop in Stockholm. We just want to drink on the boat. That's our teenage years. Like maybe I think some stags in Estonia might do that. And you'll get like five of your buddies. Best chance, five. Mm-hmm. But you guys, and that flight, I remember, I was like, does everybody know here each other? And just crazy. But it's so kind of fun.
Is there people not going on your stag do in Estonia then? If you kind of get that much hustle to get people together, if you go, oh, it's Ari's stag do, you know, is there that many people going, oh, I've got two jobs, I kind of get time off, don't have the money? Or
this
do people
is,
try
this
and make
would be
it
a big
happen?
Stag party. Like, if this was my stag party, they'd be like, Daniel and Kai, they must really appreciate you.
Here's an ignorant question. How old is Estonia? How long has
1992.
Really?
Yeah, but it was like founded again.
I'm older than Estonia.
True.
Fucking hell.
Before it existed, and then the Soviet occupation.
What were you born then?
I was 1992, their liberation year.
Oh,
so you're the baby.
I am the baby.
When
I came out, they said we must free these people.
Estonia's age is your age.
Yes. Of course, you know. You know, Estonians are going to listen to this and, you know, they're very like, you know, those small independence countries, they're always very patriotic. So they'll be like, 1991, 20th August, actually. Whatever.
You can tell me about small nationalistic countries.
So that means you were born into it rather than just before it, like you were just a state.
Well, just a fascinating country to be born into in the sense of like, imagine figuring out currency, like in the 90s already.
And you're helping it grow with
and
the comedy
having
scene?
To just suddenly make new bits of money.
And imagine like stealing in the 90s.
Did you have your own currency? Did you make one?
We made one.
Yeah, because it's euros now, isn't it?
Yeah, it used to be kronos. But we just watched other... We even took the anthem. We have the same anthem as Finland. Have you ever heard of that? Because we didn't have time to come up with it.
You copy and pasted another country's anthem?
Literally the same anthem. Can you believe that? And we have no relation to Finland.
When you play each other, do you sing it once then again? Or do you sing it together?
Oh, bro. When a Finnish guy like wins Formula, we're still like, oh, shit, you know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But imagine how mad the Finnish are.
How did
that
happen?
And Finnish people are mad because I'm half Finnish.
Is the word Finland in the song at any point? As a country, change it to Estonian.
No, we just translated the words, you know. But it was but it's such an Estonian thing to do because what a lot of these small Soviet countries do as well culturally is like, you know, like we copy. I don't know. Maybe I don't think if Scots do that, but we copy everything. Mm. Like we copy everything. Like all of our hits, all of our pop music, it's all like translations.
You don't have any creativity coming out of it until now.
No, because it's just like that was so easy to do. Like there'd be so many artists like, you know, flying to America. Mm-hmm. You know, like flying to America, that's like a big thing back in the day, right?
Yeah.
And they would come back and all of a sudden have this inspiration, you know, like summer of 72. You know? And you're like, oh my God, this, how is he not more famous? He's so good, you know? And you sing the song and then you turn like, like 15 and then you find out. Like when I started listening to Rolling Stones, I was like, you know, like.
Yeah, oh, I can't believe this.
You know, everybody.
Because, man, this is Paul Sneddon, who does Vladimir McTavish, has a story about a time. I think he was in Finland. Like, he went over to Finland, did a set, had a Finnish opener for him, and then went back 5 years later, had the same guy open for him. And then when he went on stage, like, his jokes didn't go down well. And it was because the Finnish guy had been doing his material.
His material.
Yeah, just watched him, wrote it down, and they've been doing it all around fucking Finland.
Wow. His stuff so, like, depends on being Scottish,
I think this was a while ago. And,
so you must have translated it to be
Finland. Oh, that happens a lot in the smaller countries as well, especially. I mean, but in every art form, that sort of stuff happens, you know. It's just plagiarism is a big...
Mike Birbiglia didn't commission, but, like, some Mexican guy... Mexican comedian said to Mike Birbiglia, can I do your show, the new one, in Mexican? And Mike Birbiglia was like, yeah, sure. And then genuinely helped him translate it. And that guy's now doing a run of
nice. He's like franchised it almost in a different language.
Yeah, we didn't commission it, but I think the guy was just like, look, I think that I'm a Mexican comedian. This is a fucking great show, but there's just people won't. people don't have that grasp of English over here, these people. But if you let me check, Mexican, Spanish, listen to me, speaking Mexican, sorry, Spanish. What a fucking idiot. I just trying to fucking... Wait, did you have your own language, or did you?
Yeah, no, language was always
that?
There.
Yeah,
was always there.
Right.
It's just that the Soviets came in and took the structure. So communism, you know, I mean, there was currency, but it's state controlled, and mm-hmm. you know, coupons for food, and so it's very. I love the. It's so exciting for me that you know, like, how far are you from severe trauma, generationally? Like, what is it? When was Mel Gibson screaming on the mountain?
Like that kind of trauma, like war, the fucking World War.
Second World War.
Yeah, we were in World War II.
You guys did some. So that was a lot of trauma, right?
Yeah.
Do you have like a grandfather that goes into a flashback sometimes?
No, it was both my grandparents like were alive during World War II, but were like bunker babies sort of thing. They were mm-hmm. like, I think my gran was 8 and my grandpa must have been about like 10 during World War II. So theirs was just like, we remember Glasgow getting like bombed a bit.
So that does something culturally mm-hmm. and, you know, generationally, that does something. That's always exciting for me to, you know, like...
Yeah, it's
like,
nice hearing stories from the old people. Like, my granddad was in the RAF and that, and he used to train pilots with the... He never left England. He flew toward the targets. Spitfire pilots would shoot at the target and he'd winch it in and check the scores. So that was his job in the war. It was
fucking
class. He loved it.
Yeah, imagine... Yeah, I remember somebody else telling me that their grandfather was a pilot of a Spitfire, and then he would get like a new Spitfire and it would be like, why is there a big hole right here? And they said, oh, to drain out the blood of the last guy who got shot.
Yeah.
And he was like, damn. Like, that's to hear that and then go and fly. Specific type of person.
Yeah.
But so that's your grandfather.
So my granddad was like, he was safe the majority of the time, like worried about invasion and stuff, but he's on English land.
But
in a shot.
Sometimes trauma can also be like you said, like, you know, like just seeing being a bunker baby. I mean, imagine that concept of a childhood compared to the one that we, and that's a very short time to change, like grandfather. But for me, my mother and my father's, our fathers and mothers saw tanks on the streets. So it's very close. So imagine how quick the transition is to like year 2002, South Park, American culture, all the free world.
Yeah.
But taxes just coming around. Taxes came around early 2000s, really. Because they're figuring it out. Imagine starting a country just like this and just trying to find a prime minister, like trying to copy systems.
Yeah, who wants to be prime minister? Do we not want a king? I don't think we have enough time for a royal family.
Exactly.
unless we start one now.
And that
does
was
anyone
in
want to
the
be
90s. Everybody's already so developed.
Yeah.
And just first current. Imagine how easy, like all these stories about how easy it was to steal. I mean, imagine if... The fucking guy you went to high school with is trying to figure out the government, and you're like, we can steal for the next.
Yeah, so the laws went in place for stuff.
All of this going on and culturally, and imagine like being a mother or like somebody in their 50s now, how much shit you've seen change, you know, like so quickly. Go to like an iPad from like coupons for bread.
Is that catching up fast, like?
Oh, catching up fast. But also imagine all the trauma that leaves to my generation, right? And I'm not saying that this is we're all like shell shock. We're very European kids. But trying to relate to a generation that's so close to us with time, but yet so far culturally.
Yeah. Because you've grown up in freedom and they grew
so
up.
So free. South Park, Chappelle Show, you know, on Kazaa and LimeWire, iMesh. You would download Eddie Murphy, listen to that, you know.
Meanwhile, your dad only could watch how many fucking TV stations, or was it just like whatever?
It was one guy that said, love Russia. Like,
just playing 24/7.
And then, but then there's a lot of, but I'm not like complaining. It's just a very interesting thing of the remnants of culture that get left dropped here.
And do you know if plagiarism was a big part of the culture just because you're trying to like build and copy? Did that mean when you started stand-up, you thought it was okay to copy jokes?
What?
Did you actually do it until you found out that it's not?
Well, I did a gig. Yes. I did a gig somewhere. It was, I think, 10 years ago or something. Right. I flyered. I thought I'm doing comedy. That was when I wanted to be UFC champion of the world.
Oh yeah.
And then
you gave up on being James Bond.
James Bond dreams are over.
James Bond, UFC. I'm going to be 2-weight, middleweight, easy win. KO with my raw Estonian power, and then I'm going to outsmart the light heavyweight. It's going to be some. It's going to be like a big guy. I'm not going to say the race. It's going to be like a big, you know, like a big powerful guy. But I'm going to GSP him because I'm like very. game plan heavy, you know.
It's not going to be a good one for the spectator, but for the purist. The purist is going to love it.
The purist is going to love it. Five rounds of neutralization.
Yeah.
But the middleweight one, I'm going to just, you know, just going to fucking out.
Announce yourself.
You know that Shogun tap, you know, when he's bloody on the ground.
Yeah.
You know that tap. Rory McDonald fell forward.
Yeah, I'll do that to a man. At middleweight, and then light heavyweight, smart it out, and then retire, and then do HBO, like a special.
And then bring out proper 13 whiskey.
Because I watched a little bit of Bill Burr. I didn't get it. He was yelling. He's one of my favorites now, of course.
Yeah.
I didn't get it. Very angry. But when you watch Mr. Dave Chappelle, when you watch Mr. Eddie Murphy, the confidence, the pizzazz. It almost seems, you know, like imagine being an Estonian kid downloading. So what I wanted to get is Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
I put in Eddie Murphy into Kaza.
You got delirious.
So no. What happened is there was like an audio file and it just said Eddie Murphy grandmother. That's all it said. It was a track from his album. This is Eddie Murphy. And it's about the grandmother falling down the stairs. Right.
Not heard that, but.
Yeah, it's just an old bit, you know, falling down. It's the delirious art, Goonie Goo Goo, all that shit. So I listen to that and I'm like rolling on the floor laughing, right? I start to listen some more. And then I found another audio file, Dave Chappelle, from what it's worth. And it was the bit, hey, baby, I'm selling weed, neighbor, you know, like that part.
I just caught what you did there. Sorry.
Yeah. I'm selling weed, Nintendo. You know, like, it's the word. But imagine just listening to an audio, Estonian child just learning English, and imagine how much culture you have to transcend to understand. I don't know even what the projects mean, but his delivery is so strong that even a 13-year-old Estonian
that doesn't get the culture
will fall out of the chair laughing. And what that does to your brain, and I'm like, what is this? I just remember, because English was such a foreign language, I just remember hearing like the pace.
Yeah,
I was like, this is not many movies or like American culture that are songs or like, there's something about the pace that makes me laugh.
Yeah, the cadence and the delivery. That's why, man, I love watching whenever we watch any other comedians doing comedy in a foreign language, even though I don't understand any of the jokes.
Start laughing with the audience?
You do.
Because you feel the rhythm?
Because they're saying something and you're just watching a performer.
And you can tell the type of laugh it is as well, like whether it's something rude or shocking.
It's fucking fascinating. Like, I mean, we've told this story 1,000 times, but when we were doing Iceland, there was Ari.
Another Ari?
Yeah.
Ari Eklund, he's on Netflix now.
Yeah. He opened up and we were watching when he was killing, man. Like, he was fucking blowing the roof off the place.
All in Icelandic,
except for one bit, right? And he just, at one point, in 5 minutes into his set, he just goes, "Yo, motherfucker, I'm a flower." And the room explodes.
That was in English.
That was the only bit
that's
in English.
And I thought what he'd done is in Icelandic, said to the audience, there's two English comedians back there, they're going to come on, Daniel and Kai.
Two English comedians, you fucking cunt. Fucking thing I'd like that slip.
He doesn't. This is him. This is him speaking.
Aye.
This is him speaking in a hypothetical bit in a different language.
He would have been.
He said, "English comedian Daniel Sloss and his sidekick."
Don't soften the blow. It still hurts.
or in the wings, and they're listening in English. Sorry, English speaking comedians. Aye. And I'm about to say something in English that they'll think is the punchline. Mm-hmm. So you guys have just got to die laughing because they're back there.
Mm-hmm.
And he just went, "Yo, motherfucker, I'm a flower." And then they go nuts because it's part of the setup.
No, right, but turns out it wasn't a legit fucking joke. And he does it. And we came off and we were like, and we told him the story. He's like, "Oh, that's so funny." And he started to tell us the joke. And we were like, "Don't tell us.
Like, never tell us the joke.
Never, but if you, it'll ruin it. You'll never."
Because in your head.
It'll never be as funny.
It's already as somewhere my imagination. Special.
Yeah, I don't know where it is. But when you clarify it, I'll go, all the mystery's gone.
Yeah.
All the wondering and the myth of the fucking joke. To be fair, 2 years ago when I was in Melbourne, I asked him what it was. I thought, no, I didn't. I went to see him live.
It's something to do with the national anthem, isn't it?
Aye, and he translated it. And I was like, I mean, good joke, but. You know, I was gutted because it's like finding out God wasn't real.
Yeah.
It's like finding out Louis C.K. was Louis C.K.
That's funny. That's funny. The first time I saw Louis C.K., it was like, so I started here and I didn't know what I was doing, But then I moved to Melbourne because I'm an American girl. In
you
Thailand.
You went to America for her?
No, to Australia.
Oh, that's why you were in Australia, got you.
So,
so you went there with a girl?
I met her in like Thailand, you know, like hostel, you know, like, and Eastern European guy, American, and she's like half Mexican, so crazy and very, you know, she like taught me to steal properly from grocery stores because I thought I'm going to get shot. Like, that's my
trauma. She taught you how to shoplift?
Yeah, but like morally. You know, like, because I thought shoplifting very bad. You know,
like stealing cigarettes.
You can't do it. But then she was like, no, but this is Woolworths. Like, it's a corporation. Fuck them. Fuck the system.
They went bust.
They did.
Yes.
Ari, look what you did.
Listen, I put speakers through as carrots in the self checkout.
No, it means Woolworths in Australia. They're still. He didn't cripple Woolworths. Oh, okay. That's a supermarket. But Woolworths in the UK.
And she was like, you know, that store, like closed door, secondhand. Never steal, like, well, fuck, you know, the system, you know. And then taught me to, like, just self-checkout, right?
Yeah.
And I was surprised that it came to Estonia, but we still have one guard that checks all of the fucking things, and you have to have that guy.
They seem to trust us now.
Well...
It is an honesty box, that thing, like...
No, I mean, it's the most annoying thing in the world where, like, because there's no self-service check. God, no, let's not do this. I can't. No, that's all.
That's the end of it. We're not doing self-serve checkout.
I've just called it self. Self-service checkout is hacked.
It's been done, man. Like, it's fucking over.
It's our generation's what's the deal with airplane food.
Very, very
It would have been nice to chat about, but it's not worth going there.
Yeah, no, we can. I cannot be clipped. There could not be footage of me out there talking about self-service.
Doing that. Do I work here? When do I start my shift?
Yeah.
Unexpected item in the bagging area.
It's the punchline to everything.
Yeah. What next? You want me to fill the shelves, man?
Exactly that. That's what we're about to start doing.
Yeah, I know. That's always what
we're doing. Got to nip that right in the fucking bud.
We're just having an earnest conversation about it, and then.
Oh yeah. So you've started the stand-up scene here with like 5 other comics, the ones that we've known for.
We didn't start together even.
No.
It wasn't that organized. See, there was Comedy Estonia, and I remember I saw at the show, like the first show was like,
nice.
Do you know Ahmed Beran?
I recognize the name.
Yeah, he's like a Swedish comedian. Very funny. And he was like the first guy I saw live doing stand-up.
Yeah.
Right? But I still didn't get it. I still, in my head, I was like, it's just talking, telling some anecdotes, you know, like anecdotes.
Yeah.
And then just like, so in my head, I was like, this is pretty easy. I'm like pretty funny at the wrestling gym. You know, like in the gym room, I can like hold my court.
Something that happens. Amongst your friends.
Yeah.
Get them guys to come watch you the first few times so that you're guaranteed a laugh.
Well, yeah. And the first time I went on stage, I mean, I did an hour, you know, because I didn't even know you just don't do that.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow. Man,
was it just you though? Or was
just
it like
me?
Oh, well, that's, you know.
And I flyered.
Yeah.
So and your first
I packed it.
Your first gig was a solo show, hour.
I did.
Self-produced.
And how did it go?
You've never...
45 minutes in, I turned it into a quiz show. out of panic.
Oh, really?
Because it had to was have a narrative.
Was that your contingency plan before the gig?
No, of course not. Because if you're having like a panic attack and you're trying to put... It's like 80 people too. And you're trying to put together a show. But think about it, I don't even know what the show is. A starting, a beginning.
Yeah.
You know, and when you're like going...
You had no opener. You were just like, I'll go in and talk.
I didn't know. What's an opener? What's like microphone? What's a stage? Nothing, none of that. I just got up at a bar and just like 45 minutes in, I looked down. I remember there was like a pool of sweat around my belly. I've never seen that part sweat.
It's just your belly, not like the V on your chest.
The V on my chest, that's what I normally get. But now it was like here. Yeah. Like, you know when you're having such a bad panic attack that even your pores are like, I don't...
I'll go out of any pore.
How did it go? Like, was it good?
It into a quiz show. How do you think
How would you think your gig went last night if you ended up doing a quiz at the end?
Out of panic. Like, okay.
I thought maybe like you ran out of material 45 minutes in, that had gone well. And then you were like, all right, well, we've got 15 minutes left, so let's fill it with a quiz show.
My first question.
You've got to prepare a quiz. Yeah, what was your question?
But I didn't say like, I said, now it's the quiz part. Like, I just lied. Oh. And my first question, I remember what was my first question, out of panic. I asked, what is Super Mario?
I didn't know it could go this bad.
Yeah, but And then I like asked some other questions level? And then I even calculated the number. People were very confused. And then I remember the bartender told me, "You ain't no Jimmy Carr." It's a very funny thing to say.
So have you met any of those people since? Like, you were good.
Lots of ex-friends there.
You cut them out.
Are they shocked to see how well you're doing now after that?
There is one girl that comes to every show I do, and she's like flabbergasted at what happened. Yeah. Like, she's like, because she went and she's told me the story. She's like, "I went home and I was like, dude, I saw the crate." And she came the next time too, brought more friends.
Yeah.
I did more people the next time because people were like, "This is the weirdest." Bad, like, wow.
You were so bad it was selling tickets.
Yeah.
You were a sideshow.
People wanted to see the car crash.
And then, but of course, in my head, no realization of what comedy is. I was like, I'll do 8 gigs. You know, I booked 8 gigs.
You booked a tour?
So after the, I did a poster. And after the first one, I went home and it was like a life-changing experience. You know, when your ears are ringing, you're laying back in your
bed. At the deep end.
It's like crazy. No, but, and you know when your friends don't talk to you after? Well, you don't. But,
fuck yeah. Man.
But then I did like, yeah. And then the second one sold more, but then it was a slow fizzle out to like 16 people. On
could your friends, is that right? Could friends not talk to you anymore because they were embarrassed?
No, I mean, I was a good... Let's say the good friends did that thing where they go like, no, there was something, you know.
Yeah.
Hear them out.
They believe in you.
That's nice.
And they just go, look, that was obviously, objectively, that was shit, but we still, like, Little Ali has been like that for me throughout my career, where he was just like, when I was early on, he was like, man, like, you'll do good eventually, but that wasn't the best.
Do you have their mates that still, like, come and watch you bomb? Early doors, and still man, like,
Ali's seen me do fucking gigs to fucking 4 or 5 people, like, and, Matt, and he's
Matt
very
seen as he did
now,
as well.
Like. Aye.
And then I remember I started listening to, like, because of MMA, I started listening to Joe Rogan, right? I mean, that's how I found out about Ahmed Berhan. That's how I saw you guys. Because we just listened to Joe Rogan. That's why I find out about stand-up. And then you hear people talking about sets, you know, stuff. And then, like, the paradigm shift in my head where I'm like, now, I understand the context that it's an art form.
You hadn't read the manual?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I moved to Melbourne with that American girl, you know, together.
Yeah,
and then
we started shoplifting.
By accident, we moved across the street from the Comics Lounge.
Yeah.
And
great.
Then I signed
nice
up,
club, good
open
club.
Mic, went to the workshop. And a lot of people shit on workshops. But
I do.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's no. If you're on a being at a workshop is like being on Reddit at the stand-up forum. You're not gonna make it. You know, if you're like a moderator.
Oh, I went on one, but like when
you
I was
do
there,
a good workshop, I think you've got such a good comedy knowledge.
Yeah,
you'd be able to like impart good advice if you took a workshop.
The reason comedy workshops are shit is because none of the comedians giving them are good comedians or successful.
Occasionally.
Okay. Yeah, occasionally. You get the occasional...
I just saw that as a disclaimer.
I remember Nick Goldie was a good one. That was a good one.
No, I stand... No, I'm dying on this hill.
No, true. I mean...
anyone...
That failure.
That fucking dog shit hack. That. I love you, Nick.
No, but he was very good. He said a very
funny... would be good?
He said a very funny phrase. It was like when a second workshop ever. He said like, if you don't quit, you win. Like something like that. And I remember being like, oh, like that's how you get better. At some point, you're going to get better.
Yeah. And also, man, you just, like, that's what I always say to a bit of advice to every new comedian. Like, what's it? I'm like, man, just go on stage. Go on stage and get used to
it. Gig all you can.
Yeah.
Gig to anybody that'll listen.
The only secret to comedy is the more you do it, the better you get at it. Like, it's just...
And even the workshop, you got up in front of the other workshop.
If that gets you stage time, it's worth doing.
Exactly. Yeah. And that was like a comfortable, because my English was... it was... it wasn't good. It was okay, but not like performative because I don't know how I sound in English and all that. So
you sound good. I mean, we've got you on our podcast. But I mean, the Americans will struggle because
they'll understand you more than me.
Really? Yeah, they genuinely will.
But
because you learned English from like American TV shows and British TV shows, and he learned it from other thick morons.
Miners.
The bomb screaming on the street. That's your linguistic.
People that the coal miners and the povs.
Pit yakkers taught me how to speak.
Who?
Pit yak, pit talk.
Ah, got you.
But that was, and then I remember I went there and then I got Louis C.K. tickets and you know, because I didn't have enough money to buy them, not even the nosebleeds. You know, when people say like, oh.
What was his ticket price?
Like $100. $100 per. $100 Australian dollars.
Yeah, okay.
That's not in my realm at that point. Yeah, I am stealing carrots. We were stealing avocados.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. I mean, I was like hostel backpack life.
Yeah.
That was not in my world. But there's this website, Gumtree, you know. And that's the first, that was actually how I started making money in Australia, is that, do you know Gumtree? It's like Craigslist.
Yeah.
So, because I was like kind of fascinated with computers, I found out there's just so many MacBooks being sold on Gumtree. Like every day, like in Estonia, you have like one MacBook a month at the forum, you know.
Oh, right.
Like,
and you've got to get in there quick and be the highest bidder. Mm.
Highest bidder, and it's expensive, and it's like, it's not the newest model.
But in Melbourne, it's a buyer's market.
It's such a diverse market. And also there would be like these housewives that are selling their kids' MacBooks. And because MacBooks are so similar, often wise people put the wrong number.
Yeah.
You know, like they go, I have a MacBook, but they don't even say Pro.
Yeah.
But then from the picture, you can tell it's a Pro Retina model, which was the first high resolution screen. It's a bit thinner, but it looks similar, but a bit thinner.
Yeah.
And then they post like $1,000. So I can already make, let's say, $400.
Right.
But so you catch them, buy them.
But no. But I write to them with my cold Estonian heart. Right. I write to them like, hey, like 400. And then they go, that's too low. But and I go like, well, you know, it's like an older model. It's not an older model.
So you're, yeah, good. So
yeah, yeah.
Just know they know nothing about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I would buy.
Praying on stupidity doesn't feel bad.
Yeah. And that's stone cold capitalism, baby. And that's
capitalism. And also,
here,
I would pick these MacBooks up. I had like 7 MacBooks within 1 week because I went apeshit.
You're just doing Bitcoin with.
Yes, but also, I was picking these MacBooks up, going by like bus, you know, not buying the ticket in the back. You know, just standing with my backpack, going to these fancy fucking mansion houses with a gate, you know. Like that I pointed at you, fucking gate.
I like this guy.
He said it last night when we were out drinking. Because Ari stayed with me for a month during the fridge 1 year. And God, we smoked a lot of fucking weed then. And I was like, you need to come and see the new place. He's like, he just went, I bet you have a gate. And I was like, oh, gate. I do have a gate. You've absolutely nailed me.
Yeah. And then I would like press, and then some mother comes out, just give him, doesn't even care about the cash, doesn't count it, you know, doesn't count the cash. That's like, that's a very, that's Australia. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
And I had like 7 laptops that I was shuffling off. So there was one that was like a bit dented.
Yeah.
But because MacBooks have an aluminum body, which is good for sustainability, because when it drops, it absorbs the impact. Plastic, you know, gives it through, so the fucking
shocks through it,
right? So it was like lots of dents, you know. And that was also very like, when I saw how people handle their iPhones in like Australia, because the pay is so much higher, but you know iPhones are the same price everywhere because it wouldn't work.
Yeah,
the other way.
Otherwise you get them imported.
It's like a McDonald's, right?
Yeah.
For you, McDonald's is a shit place because it's £1 burger.
Yeah.
€1 now. It's €1 burger. €1. We make $2.88 an hour, so that's 50%.
Half an hour's
work.
That's
not that cheap. Like if I was 17 and I took my girl out to a McDonald's and said, not the dollar menu, the euro menu, I go like, whatever you want.
Get a chicken legend if you want, babes.
Oh, that's like $4.90 for a chicken burger. That's like 2 hour wait.
Yeah.
You know, son, that's a fancy restaurant.
Yeah. And it's right beside that fucking weird flower market you guys have got.
Yeah,
definitely. 24/7 Christmas, New Year.
There's a 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
And there's massive like flower 22 flower places.
Yeah, not just one stall, like a whole row of people.
They're all competing. That's got to be a front. That's
not a market for that.
Russian.
I saw one opening last week, like the 23rd. I was like, who?
Are they Russian that do it?
It's got to be a money laundering.
Right, so that's a money laundering.
Who looks at that, like 22 flower stands and goes like, you know what?
I reckon I can compete. Like I think these are still
who's the 22nd one?
Waters.
Pink fucking dandelions.
I want to see what I've got.
We need to go into the fucking Patreon.
Wrap this up. Oh, do the Patreon.
Do you want to? Do you have anything to plug?
No.
You don't. Well, I guess. Are you doing any comedy in English anytime soon?
Yeah, I am doing. So I'm doing the Belgium. I'm doing something in London. Yeah.
Great.
And say your name again, because you know I can't do it.
Just say Ari Matti.
Ari Matti.
A-R-I-M-A-T-T-I.
Right. Fuck the that's a podcast. Cheers, Ari.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I'm going to read out the American dates.
Okay.
Oh.
We'll save the dad jokes.
I didn't write any.
Very cool.
So, America, you fucking assholes. Here is the tour that kicks off on Tuesday. Boston, Washington, New York, Philadelphia, St. Louis. Sorry, I know I keep saying your names wrong, you complaining bastards. Atlanta, Indianapolis, Pittsburgh, Albany, Concord, Grand Rapids, Cincinnati, Ann Arbor, Chicago, Madison, Minneapolis, San Diego. It's all on the fucking website. Just go, like, and come and see the show. Otherwise, I'll never come back because I'll give you the Spain treatment.
Is that you done?
I think so.
Right, next one.